चक्रवालेसु अथरागचन्द्रदेवता सदम्मां मुनिराजस सुनन्तु सागमोक्खदं धम्मसवनकालो अयं बदन्ता धम्मसवनकालो अयं बदन्ता धम्मसवनकालो अयं बदन्ता नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स इतिपिसो भगवा अरहं सम्मा सम्बुद्धो विजाचरणसंपन्नो सुगतो लोकविदु अनुत्तरो पुरिस धम्मसारथि सत्तादेव मनुसानं बुन्दो भगवाति स्वाखातो भगवता धम्मो संदित्तिको अकालिको एहि पासिको उपनायिको पच्चत्तं वेदितम्बो विन्योहीति सुपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो उजुपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो न्यायपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो सामीचिपतिपन्नो भगवतो सावकसंगो यदिदं चत्तारि पुरिसयुगानि अट्टपुरिसपुंगल एस भगवतो सावकसंगो आहुनेयो पाहुनेयो दक्खिनेयो अंजलिकरनेयो अनुत्तरं पुण्यकेतं लोकासाति एतेन सच्च वज्जेन पातु त्वां रतनत्थयं एतेन सच्च वज्जेन पातु त्वां रतनत्थयं एतेन सच्च वज्जेन पातु त्वां रतनत्थयं करणीयमट्टकुशलेन यं तं सन्तं पदं अभिसमेच साको जुच सुजुच सुवचुच समुदो अनतिमानि संतो सकोच सुबरोच अप्पकिच्चोच सल्लौक उत्ति संतिंद्रयोच निपकोच अप्पगाम्बो कुलेसु नचकुद्दं समाचरे किंचि येन विन्यो परे उपवदेयुम् सुखिनो वा खेमिनो हन्तु सब्बे सत्ता भवन्तु सुखितत्ता ये केचिपानभूतत्ते तसा वा ठावरा वा अनवशेष दीघा वा ये महन्ता वा मज्जिमा रसकानुकटुला दिट्ठा वा ये वा अदिट्ठा ताहे च दूरे वसन्ति अविदूरे भूता वा सम्भवेसि वा सब्बे सत्ता भवन्तु सुखितत्ता न परो परं निकुबेत नाति मन्येत कत्तचिनं कञ्चि व्यारो सनापतिगसंज्ञ नान्यमन्यस्स दुःखमिच्छेय माता यता नियं पुत्रं आयुषा एकपुत्रमनुराके एवंपि सब्बभूतेषु मानसं भावये अपरिमाणं मेत्तञ्च सब्बलोकस्मिं मानसं भावये अपरिमाणं उन्दं अनुचितिरियं च असंबादं अवेरं मसपादं Tithan charang nisinno vasayanu vayavatassa vigatamindu Etang sateng adetheya brahma metang viharang midamahu Didinchanu pagamma sillava dasanena sampanno Kame sveneya gedang nahi jatu gamba seyang punaretiti Etena satcha vajjena sottite hotu sambada Etena satcha vajjena sambarogo vinasatu Etena satcha vajjena hotu te jaya mangalam Yang dunnimitang ava mangalam cha yo cha manapo sakuna sasandu Papagahadu supinang akantang buddha nubhavena vinasamintu Yang dunnimitang ava mangalam cha yo cha manapo sakuna sasandu Papagahadu supinang akantang dhamma nubhavena vinasamintu Yang dunnimitang ava mangalam cha yo cha manapo sakuna sasandu Papagahadu supinang akantang sanghanubhavena vinasamintu Sabbe buddha balapatta paccekananchayang balang Arahandanancate jena rakang bandami sabbasu Sabbitiyo vivajjantu sabbarogo vinasatu Mate bhavan vandarayo sukhidigayuko bhava Bhavatu sambha mangalang rakkantu sabba devata Sambha bundanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantu te Bhavatu sambha mangalang rakkantu sabba devata Sambha dhammanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantu te Bhavatu sambha mangalang rakkantu sabba devata Sambha sanghanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantu te Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, today we will continue to talk on how to change our fate. 今天我们会继续讲解如何改变命运的这个讲题。之前的三个讲座里呢，我们已经讲了怎么所谓的命运在佛教里它不是死的，是可以更改的。那么我们要知道怎么更改，要相信这是可能的，然后我们要知道可能的为可能，知道其中的希望在哪里，知道无常，知道有因果，知道只要好好的在因上下功夫，我们的命运，所谓的命运就会改变。那我们也讲到，就在这个改变命运的路上，善友，一个有智慧的善友，懂得自然界法则，懂得法的善友是多么的重要啊！在这方面我们也讲了，所以这个都是关系到如何在现在当下改变我们现在的命运，怎么改变我们现在的命运，怎么通过我们的心态的转变改变，即使是同样发生同一样的事情，改变我们的生命的经验，通过转变我们的心态，转变我们的作意，注意的方式，从不如理作意到如理作意，我们可以改变我们的生命的经验。那今天呢，要讲的是一个更大的转变， 在改变命运的过程中，有一些重要的转折点。在那个重要的转折点的时候，如果我们懂得在那边下功夫，它的给生命带来的改变就非常的大了。So in the past three talks, we have said that the thing so-called fate is not fixed in Buddhism. In the teaching of the Buddha, there's no such thing as a fix that you certain things maybe like Devadatta was meant to be born in hell, but ultimately in the long run or something, we can always make some alteration to our life, can change our fate. To what extent we can change it, that's the question. So we talk about that fate can change, but we are not saying that absolutely certain to certain extent we can change. We need to believe that we need to have the faith that by putting in the right courses into our life can change. That the hope lies in impermanence, the hope lies in the law of cause and effect. And we also talk about how Kalyanamitta, a wise friend, a good friend in the spirit, who knows the Dhamma, who knows nature law, who can guide us towards the right view, how important it is, right friend, true friend, good friend, wise friend, can help us to change our life, how to invoke the higher wisdom through the association and guidance of Kalyanamitta. So, and also, we talk how using the power of Dhamma, we can change our fate. Using the power of Dhamma. And all this all the past discussion in the three talks are mainly centered on how to change our life now. One of the things is to change the way we experience life. Change the way we experience life. The same thing may happen to us, but when we change the way we pay attention to things, then experience our world change, our experience change by changing our perception. And also one thing that we mention important is to dwell in non-self, so that we can have purity of vision, so that we can see our life correctly, and we can see the relevant conditions correctly, so that we know what are the things that we should adjust to our life. Without having pure vision, we cannot understand ourselves correctly. We cannot understand the situation we are in correctly. And for that, we cannot trust our perception, we cannot trust our judgment if our emotions, our feelings are not in wholesome state, not in pure state. We have to wait and be patient until our feelings are gone. We have to conquer put our mind in the right state first before we make decision and etc. So quite a lot of important points we cover in terms of changing our fate. This you can refer to, for those who didn't come, you can refer to the earlier talks for the fundamentals, the aspect in terms of changing our fate. So today we will concentrate on certain crucial point that certain things, certain aspect of our life, if we make important change, that will lead to a continuous change in future for a long time. 那我们也讲到通过我们转变我们的心态我们如何的能够改变我们的生命。 那今天呢，更重要的是我们要掌握生命的一些重点，一些重点能够让我们的改变带来连续性的效果。好，那我们看看什么，你看一个人的性格，有些时候好像是生下来就是这样，好像是有一些性格很难改很难改的，为什么？为什么？如果你了解佛教的佛陀的教导，如果你了解阿毗达摩，如果你有根据巴奥悉阿多的引导修习缘起，看过去是现在是未来，未来世是会变的，可是未来世是业的投影，业的投影，那么你就会明白我们临终的一刻是多么的重要。临终的一刻，我们在我们的死亡心事，在接近死亡的之前的那个心路过程，那个时候有非常重要的一个决定性的作用，它很重要，它主宰着你，不只是主宰你投身到哪里，它也影响了你来世的整个性格，这个非常重要，那是一个很重要的关键。当然有些人说改变生命改变命运，现在我有一些女弟子就说，现在班爹我要跟你去行脚，我讲不行，女众你跟着我们行脚太不方便很危险，男众才可以跟，女众不可以跟。他就讲啊，那你讲改变命运我就改不来了。所以我们讲改变命运有短的改变和长远的改变，如果真的是什么东西都是一刹那之间就能够改变，那我们现在下个决心大家一起来我要成佛就可以了嘛，对不对？不是的，因为改变命运它也不能违背一个自然界的规则，就是因缘生因缘灭的规则，它必须符合因缘，你的因缘不对它就改不来了，因缘对它就改得来。所以这个因缘，有些因缘大因缘要更长远的时间去做，比如说一个男性他要变成女性，女性要变成男性，那么现在当然人家用不自然的方法去达到，那些是假的不可靠的，真正你要从人间投到天界还是要投身到哪里，这个大改变它不是你现在行行善做做布施就可以，或者是你想献花给佛，现在你发一个愿，我从此我的要长得很漂亮，那个可能来世这个功德来世成熟的时候可能，可是在临终的时候如果它出现它成熟可能，可是你不能够说供一花给佛，现在你马上就发一个愿我要长得很漂亮，马上脸孔就改变啊，这个不能，它需要这个是因为那个业生色法，业所产生的那种物质身体的现象呢，在正常的情况之下它都要来世，它不会在这一世起作用，所以这些东西自然界的规则你要懂。好，如果希望来世变得很有智慧你可以教练，你要现在你要变得很有智慧，那么有可以培养，通过勤精致者，通过修禅，通过了解经典是可以，可是有些地方要彻底的改变，把一个白痴生下来就白痴的人，痴呆的人要突然间变成很有智慧，这个他不能在一世里面完成，所以有一些规则就在这个大改变，你要做大改变里头呢，那临终一念就非常的重要，我们需要了解它，需要懂得怎么把持它，然后怎么掌握这个改变命运的给命运带来大改变的那个重要点关键点，在关键点下功夫它的效果就很大。因为如果在临终一念死亡心事死亡心路过程的时候，如果懂得掌控，一个有人有能力掌控那个，那么他可以决定他投身到哪里，他也可以决定他将来投身的时候是为一个怎么样的样子， 他可以决定。比如说一个人他习惯了总是喜欢逗留在伤感里头的人，如果他能够转变，掌控自己临终的一刻，让自己升起的业，让自己想起的东西，或者是那个心念都是喜悦的，那么他来世投生的时候呢，他的劫生是有喜的，他劫生是有喜悦的，那么他所有一辈子里面的那个有分心事，这个你们听了就好，不用不明白也没关系，只是有一个概念就可以。那个有分心事就是有喜悦，他死亡形式也是有喜悦，所以这样子的话呢，他就几乎形成了一个个性。有些人就是天生就比较开朗的，比较比较那种开朗，比较乐观，或者比较积极，比较勤奋等等，这些都跟他还没有投身，他最后导致他投身这一世的那一个死亡心路过程，他那个时候所成熟，临终的时候所成熟的业有很大的关系，甚至有直接的关系。所以这就是为什么这一个临终的一念就是那么的重要，我们需要去了解它，需要懂得去掌握它，掌控它，通过新的训练法的提升。 So we talk about changing our fate. We need to know certain crucial points in life. It is notimmediately absolute in the sense that suddenly you say, I want to change everything, I want to change. You must be able to change. You can't. If that is possible, then all of us here and now, we just make a wish. We want to be a Buddha. Now we are a Buddha. No, it is not possible. To understand change, we need to understand natural law, that things arise because of conditions and things disappear also because of the disintegration ofconditions. So when you understand the law in various aspects, you understand dependent origination in all its aspects, then you start to understand that what we can do is we pump in the right causes only. And certain change takes longer time. Certain change takes another lifetime. For example,If a woman make a wish, I want to be a man, you cannot realize that immediately in this life. Of course, people try to do it artificially through the injection of hormone or whatever. And they change man to woman and try to change a woman to man. But those are artificial, not real. Not real. So some of my students, female disciples, they say, Bhante, if you go for one drink in India,We want to join you. Can we follow you? I say, no. Wandering life is not for women. It's only for men, for the bhikkhus, for the samaneras, but not for the siyales. It's very difficult. A lot of complications. Not that it is completely impossible, but it's very complicated. So instead of involving all the complications, might as well stay in the place and practice properly. But I actually met aFemale wanderers in India. But she's extremely ugly, very fierce. I think no man dare to touch her. But other than that, I don't think ordinarily it is safe for women to go wandering. So if a woman make aspiration, I want to be a man, then you can only achieve it in next life. You must know how to do it.If you want to do it, you must know how to do it. And in this, we have to talk about how to choose our rebirth. So we are talking about changing fate in various aspects. One is change your experience. Outside things don't change. I change myself. This is one way of changing. Another way of changing, you actually change your causes to the point that external things, all your life encounters change. And then the bigger change, powerful change, will be when you determine which life you choose. That will make a big change. You can choose to be reborn in heaven, as human beings. Of course, No wise man should choose to be reborn in wolf realms. It's never useful. That you don't need too much effort. All you need to do is just be, just incur defilements, and then that will bring us down. So, we need to understand one important point is, especially in changing our life, is near-death moment. Just look at people's character. Sometimes some people, they are very cheerful. They smile. They look at things from a bright aspect. They are optimistic. Or some people are particularly pessimistic, sorrowful. The strong tendency to sorrow. Some people have a lot of fear. Some people are very open-hearted, very forgiving. Why? So difficult to change that character. Still can change, but you find especially difficult. Why? Because it has a lot to do with our mind state. The first consciousness that when we are reborn, the first consciousness actually is very important. It almost determines a lot about our life. Not completely, not absolutely, but a lot of aspect of our life is determined by the first consciousness that appears when we are reborn. And because that consciousness, we call Patisandhi, the rebirth consciousness, takes certain object, contains certain qualities, and that qualities and all the Bhavanga consciousness throughout our life. Bhavanga consciousness is a consciousness that comes in between our normal, ordinary thought process, thinking process. We have many mind-door process. If you want to understand Abhidhamma, there's eye-door thought process, ear-door thought process, nose-door thought process, tongue-door thought process, body-door thought process, and mind-door thought process. Six types. Six main category. And then, of course, there's jhana aspect, jhana thought. There's mind-door thought process. So, in between of these thought processes, we have a lot of bhavanga. We call life continuum. And the quality of this life continuum affects a lot to our life, whole life. Because it arises all the time. And it's always the same, in the same pattern. If the first rebirth consciousness has joy in it, then all the bhavanga, all the life continuum consciousness has joy. So the person tends to be cheerful. If that is equanimity, equanimous, in our first rebirth consciousness, equanimous, then all the, throughout the whole life, the life continuum consciousness, what we call bhavanga, citta, is equanimous. The thought process, the ordinary thought process, yes, the person can love, and at one time equanimity, equanimous, and another time joyful, but the life continuum is always the same. Taking the same object as object, very strange. That desire has a lot to do with our character. So if a person is born with a cheerful and happy rebirth consciousness, then he tends to take look at things in from a happy perspective, and then very easy to have happy feelings. Very easy. And if there is a equanimous, then the mind tend to be equanimous. So these sort of determine our character. And how it comes about. What decides this rebirth consciousness to be either cheerful? This is just two clear examples I want to give. In fact, it also affects many subtle differences, variants. But I just take this as an example, equanimous and happy. Happy. So what determines this? The dying moment. The past life, immediate past life, the dying moment. Just before the pass away, the dying thought process. Near death thought process. Depends on what karma ripen. See what karma ripen. Suppose, one example is You like to do offerings, eh? To the Sangha, to the Buddha. When you perform that dana with joy, with mindfulness, clarity of mind, okay, now that karma is finished. And it so happened before dying moment, if you remember that dana, and if that karma ripened, either naturally or through your conscious effort, you try to remember your dead dana, you perform joyfully to the Sangha. Then, if because of that karma ripened in the last thought moment, and then in your rebirth consciousness, you will take the same object. Three types of signs may arise in the dying moment. One is karma, one is karma nimitta, one is gati nimitta. Karma is, at that time, it arises in such a way as if you are performing it. Karma nimitta, when it arises in such a way that when you are performing that act, some kind of sign, either that you're seeing yourself offering or whatever, the phenomena around that action, while you're doing that action, that appear. Some kind of, either the object that you offer or the person that receive your offerings, that appear. That we say karma nimitta. Or gati nimitta. Gati nimitta is the place that you are going to be reborn. Some people, if they want to be reborn as a human being, they will see the mother's womb. If you have to be reborn in hell, they see the hellfire or something like that. Or to be reborn in hungry ghost, they see hungry ghost chasing after something like that. If it's in heavenly realm, then they see heavenly flowers or something. A heavenly object appear. So this we call gati nimitta. So this near-death moment, that kind of a karma that ripened at that time, and then the quality of that karma will decide with our rebirth consciousness. So if a person performed dana with joy, and then when that karma ripened at the near-death moment, then next life, the rebirth consciousness will have joy, and then throughout that life, his mind is cheerful, bright, things like that. And while he was performing that dana, after that, he make a wish. How I wish if I can, in future life, I can have a chance to practice as a monk, as a bhikkhu. Then somehow, this wish will link. We always associate with this karma. Of course, this wish is a kind of it has a wrong view with that there's a permanent, there's a bhikkhu as entity. Actually, in ultimate sense, you see, ultimate reality, there's only namarupa arise, the materiality and mentality arise all the time, very quickly. But because of the wrong understanding, you think there's a bhikkhu, a permanent bhikkhu to be. You want to be a bhikkhu or you want to be anything. Because of that, that is a ignorance, avijja, wrong view. There's a tanha, craving. There's a upadana, strong attachment, because you want to be reborn in such a way. Either you make through wish or through inclination, it also works. So always, only arhan is free from this. Even you don't wish, somehow inclination, we always want our existence. We don't want to stop our cycle of rebirth. Something at the back of mind, we always want to exist. We want to hold on to this life, existence. Only arahant is free from that. So as long as the person is not arahant, you always have this. So might as well make a wise wish where to be reborn and what to do. That's better. But once a person attains arahantship, so the desire to be reborn is forever no more. So he will not have a next birth. So it's this. So when a person performs merits in such a way and association with the wish, how he wants the merits to ripen, then if when that merits happen to ripen, a dying moment, then that quality of the karma will decide. So next life will be we make a major change. That change is just like, you know, when you go to the port, you go to the airport, and you choose, you buy a ticket, you catch a plane. Which plane you catch make a big difference. If you catch a plane to go to America, it will be America. You catch a plane to go to Myanmar, you go to Myanmar. You can't change that until you reach there and until you finish something and then until you take another flight back. So same. Once you choose, once you are that karma ripened and you are reborn somewhere, and after that, you live your whole life either as a man or as a woman or as a heavenly being or as a or in the wufu realms as an animal or whatever. Whole life. Until they exhaust that, then you may have a hope to change in another life. So this becomes very important. If you are reborn in a place where you have a lot of chance to do merits, to meet wise people, to listen to Dhamma, oh, that's wonderful. If you are reborn in a place where you do not have this opportunity, then it is a loss. Even just to choose to be reborn in heavenly realms, it makes a difference which realm you choose. If you only choose a place to only enjoyment, in a place where, in Tavatingsa, you can still hear Dhamma sometimes, from time to time. Better still is Tusita. Other realms, it's not so sure about it. Not so much. So, if you are reborn in Tusita, you still have a chance to meet the Bodhisattva Maitreya, then, and other Bodhisattvas as well, then you can still associate with Dhamma in the heavenly realm. So even though you have a lot of pleasure there, but still you still associate with Dhamma, not so bad. Otherwise, if you are reborn in heavenly realms, you only enjoy pleasures, but you have no chance to listen to certain place, certain group, they don't associate with Dhamma, then there will be a loss. Then after the exhaustion of the good karma, and no good new good karma performed, then we'll be reborn in lower place. So you see, it's so important which place we choose to be reborn. So we need to know how to take care of this dying moment. That is a crucial point in changing our fate.
而讲到这个投身, 我们要真正改变我们的命运, 来一个大改变, 那你实在要懂得选择你的投身。 受我们的那个业影响非常的大，我们的业，临终时候是升起的业，那么这个业可能是接近死亡的时候所造的，也有可能是早早就造下来的。那么在造业的时候呢，你用怎么样的心造业，决定性很大。比如说，如果你在做布施的时候，你常常都带着喜悦和正念，很有正念、很明亮的。 你做布施，而且无条件的做布施，完全是一个无私的心，只是要为人家好，希望看到这些僧团成员能够好好的修行，希望法脉能够传扬下去等等。那么你带着很美的心，你去做布施，很快乐的心去做布施，很明亮、很有正念的心去做布施。那么这一个业在成熟的时候呢，它投身，它会导致你来世的劫生世，因为来世的劫生世是。 这一串心是接下去，它是受之前的影响嘛？所以它如果是有喜悦、有很明亮、很有正念，来世的劫生事，还有所有一辈子的有分心事，都是明亮的，都是有正念的，都是有喜悦的、有快乐的，啊，那就很重要了。那一生的性格，那一生的命运，几乎都被它影响很大很大。如果你要说生命里面有八字的话，那真正的八字就是我们的劫生事。 如果要讲有八字的话，可是那也不是绝对性，因为那一生他还可以改变他的生命到某一个程度。可是如果他有做比丘的机会，他就做比丘；如果他是男的，就是男的；女的，如果是聪明的，投生下来就是聪明；如果是比较笨的，或者是痴呆的，那投生下去他一辈子就痴呆。你没有看过谁生下来就是痴呆的，然后通过一番 科学方法还是什么，然后就给他变成很聪明，没有的。经典里面最多只是一个故事，那个周立方的故事是，他不是真的痴呆，他也不是傻，他只是一时之间有一些业蒙着他， 到四句话都背不熟，等到他的那个业一过了过后，他本来的智慧在显现，那种是短暂性的傻，他不是真正的傻，那种投身下来就是傻的，那就没希望了，那一辈子就很难，疯了就疯的，所以很可怜。所以决定你投身那一个时刻的那个业很重要。那么在我们造业的时候，比如说你在行布施的时候，我们都有，如果你有发愿，发愿你说我来是要做比丘，那么这个愿它是有无明的，因为你相信有一个比丘，永恒不变的一个比丘，一个其实真正智慧呢，它不会去想比丘，它是都是明色法，非常快的生灭的明法和色法。当一个人修行有智慧之光的时候，你去一观照，你就会看到，无数的色法里面，这些明色法只是明色法，你看可以看到身体有无数的嘎啦巴组成这个色聚，这个色聚里面有很多的那些，比如说每一个色聚还是观念，究竟明色法呢？你用智慧之光一照下去，一个色聚最少都有八个成分，地水火风色香味食宿。然后如果是眼睛的，还有眼睛色，还有命根等等，等等很多种。那么这个究竟明色法，看到究竟明色法，心色也是有心路过程，有种种的心路过程，还有一个心事的升起，它有很多心所在里头等等，这些叫做究竟明法。那么身体的究竟色法，那么当一个人看到究竟明色法的时候呢，他就没有疑痴心，他看到的是智慧，他就不是无明。可是如果他想这个是有一个比丘，我要成为一个比丘，他还是有无明，他还是有贪爱，他想要做一个比丘，然后还是有那个执着，所以avijja 无明、tanha 贪爱和 upadana 这个自取，所以这个自取让他投身。当然这个自取，这三样无明、贪爱和自取，这个只有阿罗汉呢，阿罗汉就完全没有无明了，那么他就不会完全没有了，就所以再不会有来世。那么其他的人呢，不管你有发愿你不发愿你都会的，只要还没有证阿罗汉，如果不发愿的话，那你说我不发愿不要发，我要投身做比丘的愿，不要发愿要投身做修行的愿，那我不是好了吗？但你不会，就不会这样子就了生脱死的，因为我们潜伏在心流里面，我们一直都有一种倾向，这个倾向就是还想要活下去，还想要延续下去，要还要有这个五蕴色受想行识，还要有这个名色法。不过记得阿罗汉也不是，阿罗汉入灭的时候呢，他不是永恒的死亡，要记得这一点，但他不是我们所谓的生存，不是五蕴的存在，可是他不是永恒的死亡，他是永恒的快乐。这个是不能用语言，不是言语可以解释的，不过只是知道有这样的一回事就好，这个要修行去提升。好，我们讲回来，所以一般的人呢，既然不管怎样都好，你都摆不脱这个无明贪爱执取，你还是会投身的，那倒不如你发一个愿，发愿要投身，要选择好的投身，一直到你成阿罗汉，好的投身。这个投身的决定很重要，投身做人间，你看人间有很大的差别，有些地方就是很多享受娱乐听不到佛法，有些就可以听闻到佛法，即使是投身到天界也有很大的差别，比如说如果你投身到倒立天，达瓦丁萨33天呢，倒立天就33天，可能还可以听到佛法，有一些时候，可是倒立天有些时候还会有打仗的。可是如果投身到杜西达兜率天那就更圆满，如果是亚麻天其他的他化自在天，那些有些是只是纯粹享受娱乐的，听闻到不到佛法，那么娱乐享完了享受完了，你可能就要堕落了，就要掉下来了。可是如果一个人他在天界还能够继续听闻佛法，还能够行善，还能够继续修行，那他就比较幸运。比如说如果投身到兜率天的那个靠近弥勒菩萨的那边那就好，那就还可以听闻到佛法，那边有法堂可以听闻到佛法，所以很重要，你的来世 投身在哪里就很重要。所以我们不能不懂，我们怎样要懂得投身。可是讲到掌握这个投身，怎样投身，你要有本钱。你没有本钱，你发什么愿它是空洞的，没有本钱的愿是空洞的。要有本钱，这个本钱是什么呢？
So we are talking about taking care of our last thought moment in order to choose where to be reborn. Since, after all, we always have aspiration or inclination to be reborn, until we attain arahantship, we might as well make a wise aspiration. And to understand how to make aspiration and to really make effective aspiration, we need to have capital. Without capital, then aspiration is like empty. You have a good car, but you don't have the fuel, you won't move. Same. This capital is very important. Then what are the capital we need to have to choose our birth? In the Majjhima Nikaya, the middle length discourses, there's one sutta called Sankar Upapati Sutta. In that sutta, the Buddha taught what are the conditions which will decide and support a person aspiration to be reborn in good place. In that sutta, the Buddha mentioned five things. A person has learning, knowledge. Of course, this knowledge must be relating to nature law. It's not useless knowledge. Then, generosity. Perform a lot of giving, a lot of dana. Jaga. Generosity. Then, learning. Generosity. Sila. Sila. Morality, virtues. And then, faith. Faith in what should be faithful. What we should have faith. Faith in triple jam. Faith in law of cause and effect. Faith in dependent origination. In right view. And things like that, etc. In the right teaching. In the Dhamma. Then that faith is very important. Faith and wisdom. Wisdom. So if a person is accomplished in these five qualities, having knowledge, learning, having generosity, perform a lot of dana, having morality, virtues, having faith, and having wisdom, and such a person, if he makes aspiration, I want to be reborn in this state. Starting from the highest sensual heavenly realm, not Brahma. Brahma, you can't do like that. To be reborn as a Brahma, you can't. Through this method that given in the suttas, you cannot be reborn in the Brahma. But less than Brahma, in all the heavenly realms, and human realms, all the happy state you can achieve. If you make an aspiration, if you accomplish with these five things, and you make an aspiration, I want to be reborn as a rich man. Yes, you can be reborn as a rich man. I want to be reborn in the high status. During those days, you have a Brahmin, in four castes in India, the warrior castes, Katiya, and all other realms, the merchants or the labor and whatever. Of course, nobody would want to be reborn, make wish to be reborn on low realms.
usually people can make aspiration, they want to be reborn as a high ranking and good, happy, whatever. Then that aspiration can be fulfilled. The dream can come true if one is accomplished with learning, generosity, virtues, faith, and wisdom. And then when he make aspiration, naturally such a person, if he make aspiration, and then usually he accomplish with a lot of good karma, then near dying moment, then that karma ripen, and associate with the good aspiration, the aspiration will be fulfilled. And there's a practice in Burma that people write down whatever good things they have done, just in case sometimes near death moment something may come intercept, bad karma may come intercept, and suddenly just because of getting senile, then forget, not remembering whatever good things one has done, like the difficulty suffered by King Asoka near death moment. The King Asoka also suffered difficulty. So difficult for him to remember. He has done all the good deeds. But near death moment, it's so difficult for him to remember one good things. Eventually, of course, he has a karma to be helped by the monk. So they write down what all the good things they have done. They ask their relatives to read it out to them. So when there's a close one, read out. At this time you have done this thing, good things. Then by bringing up the memory, sometimes it's like helping the dead karma to ripen near death moment. And if that, then it works well for the future. So that, because that is a critical moment. Even though it doesn't ripen, if a person is reborn, have done all the good, and yet reborn as an animal, like as a dog, what happened? That karma still functions, all the good karma still works. But unfortunately, if a person is reborn as a dog, just because last thought moment he couldn't guard it, all the good still works. As a dog, he will be a happy dog. Maybe a dog which will have a good master, take care of him all the time, take bath with him, wear beautiful costume around the dog. And then you have all the good clothing, even as a dog, and good food, even people, some dogs are so good luck, good karma, their karma is so good, in the sense, at least they don't need to suffer hunger, much better than a lot of people, human beings in Africa, but is that good? A dog is still a dog, you still suffer, so, It is good, it is very important that you choose the right rebirth. And then all the good karma also ripen in the right, you are reborn in a good realm where good karma continue to ripen, and then you are in a position to continue to perform more good karma. That's the best. Until eventually attain arahantship and no more rebirth. So that's very important. So 就在讲到这个, 到底我们投身要怎么样，我们的愿要掌握投身的愿会成熟呢，会真正的发挥得很好，会运作呢。在这个中部里面呢，马吉玛里嘎亚中部里面的一部经叫《桑嘎尔乌巴巴蒂苏塔》，里面佛陀有讲到五个数字，第一是博学，有学问了。这个学问当然是要关系到自然界的法则了，不是什么乱七八糟制造武器的学问，那个肯定没有帮助。学问要慷慨，慷慨就是要常常做很多的布施，做很多的布施的人，很多功德，很多布施波罗蜜的人，他就这个价格，这个慷慨。然后要有这个美德，要有守戒，要有美德，要有种种的善行，然后要有这个信仰，信仰当然要信仰三宝，信仰缘起法则、因果法则，相信有轮回，等等，相信所做的善行都有善业，然后有智慧，所以对的学问呢，学问慷慨，或者是布施啦，做很多布施慷慨，然后守戒有戒，和这个
信仰、信心和这个智慧。那有了这五个数字的人，当他发愿，愿我要投身到哪里到哪里，他可以选择从最高的欲界天，他化自在天，到人间，你要投身到哪里都可以。当然不要讲苦界了，苦界不需要这五种力量。你要投身到苦界，你讲我要下地狱，那不需要，不需要这五种力量。我们只要投身好的地方，所以要投身到高贵的，至少有些人在佛陀时代有四种阶级嘛。如果要投身到高的阶级，那也可以投身到高的阶级；要投身到天界，也可以投身到好的天界。可以选择自己要的地方。通过这五种四字，你在发愿。那么这个时候呢，一个人行了很多的善，很有力量，有这种美德，然后他在临终的时候呢，他的善业成熟，这个善业又伴随着这些好的愿，然后那个愿就会实现，愿就会实现，他就得到他要的那个投身。可是呢，这个临终的一刻，有些时候呢，还是有些人可能那五种力量还不够，比较弱了一点，那怎么办？在缅甸呢，他们就有一种传统，佛教徒，他们把他们的一辈子所做的善行全部写下来，写了很多很多，然后写着一本簿子放着，然后就叫自己的亲人朋友啊，我要死的时候呢，你们千万不要在身边哭哦，大喊大叫就不好，不好干扰，啊，只是念给我听，我一生做过的好事，念，然后让他一直在记忆里面带出来。那临终的时候呢，就看他带出哪一种记忆啊，然后通过这个带引发那个记忆，其实也是一种方法，引发出那种业。那么希望记的那个业，让那个业在临终的时候成熟，然后决定他好的投身。啊，这是很有智慧的方法，这是我们可以仿效的方法。所以，这个就选择我们的所以一个投身一选对了，它就有一个很大的改变整个生命。所以我们要选择投身好的投身，必然是我们投身到那个时候呢，我们的很多的善业继续的成熟，而且不只是善业很多继续成熟，我们还有很好的条件继续累积善业。但是如果说我们做的很多善业临终的时候不成熟，我们恶业成熟怎么办呢？不要担心，你的善业还是没有浪费。投身做好命狗好命猫，有些人比较好，人的人狗可以搞得不错，做人可是好的狗，再好命的只狗还可能三门门，可是废的对呀。但是暂时的不专业去出去，这边指责问题先这帮的，那可以好呢？你戒不妄语，不饮酒，说八戒，不杀生，不偷盗，不淫，就是犯行戒，然后不妄语，不饮酒，然后过午不食，然后不歌舞，不唱歌跳舞，玩乐嬉戏。然后带香花那些，然后不坐高床高椅之类的，过着那种朴素的好像修行生活的，像现在他们在现在 SBS 修行的禅修者天天都在守着八戒，其实他们根据缅甸传统，八戒再加一戒，还有慈心戒。那慈心那个准确来讲也不算是什么戒，不是属于戒，可是是很好的很好的。那么所以八戒再加一个美德，慈心的美德，所以这是很殊胜。这种业在经里面有记载说，它也是让一个人可以到投身到他要投身的地方去的，会帮到他投身到好的地方去。所以守八戒非常珍贵，非常非常珍贵，能够古时候佛陀时代他们是一个月几乎都四天都会守八戒，这是很好的。现在古晋我们的在我们来的那个道场，我们的理事们几乎全部理事，几乎可能只有一两位例外，几乎全部理事至少都有一天，他们每一个礼拜都有一天守八戒，都有的，很喜欢。连我们的小朋友都守八戒的，有些都一个礼拜一天，有的是都或者是重要的日子他们都有守八戒，所以这个很珍贵，这也是造成我们帮助我们的。So another factor in the suttas, I read it, that can help us to decide, can help us to be reborn in good
realms is also our 8 precepts. Those who keep 8 precepts well is good. From time to time, in the Buddha's time, they keep 4 days in a month, Uposatha day. So ordinary 5 precepts is non-killing, non-stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, no taking intoxicants. But for the 8 precepts, is no killing, no stealing, no sexual conduct, no lying, no taking intoxicants, no taking liquor, and then not eating after in the afternoon, not taking solid food in the afternoon, not eating in the afternoon, and then not enjoying, not watching movie, songs, music, and then not decorating yourself, perfume, garlands, not using that, and not taking luxurious beds and seats, and high beds and seats. So altogether, 8 precepts. And this is very precious. If you use, if you keep it, and it will support you to be reborn in good place. And that's why in Kuching nowadays, all our community members, except maybe one or two due to health reason or whatever, almost all our community members, they keep 8 precepts. Every week, they observe 1 day. Some will choose Monday, some will choose Wednesday. Because of their working conditions, they cannot be all on the same day, but they choose 1 day. Even our kids, our Sunday school's kids, some, they learn to observe. And they can. They find they can do it 1 day. So from time to time, they observe 8 precepts. That's good. This merit is very good. That's only for all these merits will support us to choose to be reborn in good sensual realm, but not in Brahma realm, not in the material and immaterial realms. In the Brahma realm, you need to practice jhana, concentration. If you want to be reborn in the first jhana realm, then you have to attain first jhana and practice it well and maintain it. The best is you sit in meditation and die. And then you'll be reborn in the realm based on the just before dying, what you do. If you enter first jhana, okay, that's good. First jhana is operating. Second jhana will be second jhana. Third jhana will be third jhana. Fourth jhana will be fourth jhana. And if a person practice up to boundless space and die in that state, then he will be reborn in boundless, the immaterial realm, arupa realm. In that realm, there's no body, only mind. The mind is boundless, taking boundless space as object. That's very beautiful. You see how much suffering our body causes to us. Because of having a body, sometimes we suffer disease. We feel we have to clean it all the time. We have to take care of this body so much. But if we have no body, we only have mind, then all the suffering that comes with body is no more. That's immaterial. And life also, lifespan very long. Very, very long. So, if a person develop up to boundless space, taking the base of boundless space as a concentration, he'll be reborn in that. And then a boundless consciousness, nothingness, and neither perception nor non-perception. So, based on the level of spiritual development, the samatha development, a person can be reborn in the realm that he chose. But to do that, he need to maintain until dying moment. If he doesn't maintain, then some kind of excess concentration arise. Even then, he may be reborn in one of the sensual realm, but he will be very bright, the mind very powerful, strong. Very strong mind. Okay. But if he maintain until dying moment, then it will be naturally, he will be reborn in a good place. In the Brahma realm or Arupa Brahma realm. So that's so you take a 如果是要投身到梵天界呢, 他就必须要, 通过, 临终的时候呢, 还要能够入定, 如果是初禅就到初禅天, 二禅二禅天, 三禅三禅天, 四禅四禅天, 如果是空无边处, 就空无边处天界, 然后事无边处到事无边处, 无所有处就投身到无所有处, 然后如果他的定力是能够修到非想非非想定, 在临终的时候还维持到那个阶段，他就投身到非这个无色界。这四个是无色界，无色界就没有身体，他的生命就只有心事，没有身体。空无边，事无边，无所有，非想非非想，没有身体。你看有身体带给我们很多苦，我们很多苦的，这个身体要照顾生病什么，又要在喂养他，要给他衣服，又怕冷怕热等等问题，没有身体就这些痛苦就完全没有了，那心就比较快乐的多了，那个是指无色界，就是没有身体的世界，它只有心事，只有心事。所以看那么要投身到这个色界和无色界呢，这个是要禅定，看自己的修行到什么程度。所以生命就大大的改变，它是一个大转变，不需要苦苦的追求。如果我们懂得在因上下功夫，我们懂得改变我们的生命，不用苦苦追求的，真的。佛陀的方法很好看，我们只要照佛陀的方法，我们可以选择我们的生命，改变我们的生命，这个是指大转变。可是不过在做这个大转变的过程中，其实你会发现到你现在已经转变。比如说如果你修行禅定，你不用等到来世你才快乐，你现在入禅定你就快乐。所以这个为未来的做大转变的整个努力没有白费。你有些人会有些，也许有些人会问，万一没有呢？万一没有来世怎么办？你何必担心有没有来世？当然不要担心，如果你们照着报下道的这个教导，那么修到缘起观禅 Vipassana 的阶段，还没有真正到无常苦我的 Vipassana， 只是在这个第二个内观智慧缘起的时候，修缘起的时候呢，就引导你看过去式，看未来，那么你就很清楚的，它不是幻想的，很清楚。还有那个看过去式，它有一串心路过程，一直延续到过去的生命，延续到现在，绝对不会搞错是别人的生命变成我的生命，不会。它也不是像发梦一样乱乱出来的，不会。它有一个很清楚的方法，整个心路过程串过去的，连绵不绝，可是是无我的这个有点奥妙，这个不是学者能够 理解的，这个是要亲自体证才会明白。没有一个我在轮回，可是它有一种相续性，那个相续性它不是一个永恒不变，它也不是不断，它是无我的现象，可是在无我之中那个因果在延续，很神奇。这个可是真正体验的时候也不神奇，讲起来神奇，体验的时候也不神奇这个我们不能够在理论上去去，最好是亲自去体验。那么即使说你真的还不能够完全相信有轮回，没关系，你只是现在你有了禅定，你现在就快乐，得到很多单纯的快乐，不用苦苦追求，坐下来入定就快乐。所以从来世来讲，如果说有来世，那来世是好的，如果说没有来世，你这一世也得意。所以这个改变生命所做的努力，修戒定慧是绝对划算，永远是好的，只是你要为了那个付出一点代价而已，要牺牲一点出破出一点时间，可能那是游山玩水的时间，你破出来来修禅，那么你就会现在得到法益，然后未来也现在得到法喜法乐，那么未来也会得到好的结果。这种我们在经里面叫做现在快乐，可是在现在得到快乐的时候，享受快乐的时候，还累积快乐的因，未来还会快乐。如果是欲乐，享受欲乐一种贪心所带来的快乐，那个是现在你快乐，它果报成熟的时候呢，它未来就不快乐。可是禅定不是，禅定是你现在就快乐，你未来也快乐这种快乐是佛陀讲，在经里讲不需要害怕的快乐。欲乐贪嗔痴的乐嗔恨没有乐了嗔恨都没有乐受的，贪心有乐受贪心是可能有乐受，可是也可能是舍受，可是嗔恨心肯定不是不会有乐受，都是苦受。所以这个贪的乐受，贪欲所带来的那个乐受，它未来要付出惨痛的代价，要苦。可是清净的法乐、禅定的乐、观智的乐、智慧的乐， 那个乐是将来会还会带来好的结果。这种乐在佛教里面我们讲不需要害怕的快乐，不需要抗拒的快乐，这种快乐是尽情享受吧，尽情享受吧，因为这种快乐是越多越好。所以从改变命运来讲，你不要担心。如果说对未来是还是有点半信半疑，没关系，你去修行禅定你肯定划算，现在已经得到好处，何必担心。这种快乐不是娱乐可以比的，它是清净的快乐，祥和的快乐，宁静的快乐，独立的快乐，超然的快乐。 So we're talking about changing our fate, our life, especially in terms of this developing concentration, to be not only it works for future life, it's not only meant for future life. For those who believe in future life, okay, fine. You say this, you work hard, and then future will be good. What happens if you do not believe in future life? You do not believe in past life and future life. Still, it is good. Because here and now, when you dwell in jhana, in absorption, in good concentration, it is peaceful, very peaceful, peaceful, blissful happiness. Very happiness. Of course, you say fourth jhana, there's no happiness, equanimity. It is not happiness, but that equanimity is much superior and better. So in the sense of better, it is happy, but it is not happy feeling. It's equanimous feeling that is superior. That's very wonderful mental state to dwell in. So, suppose there's no future life. You don't believe there's a future life. Still, your here and now, if you experience this high state of Dharma, this is happiness. The Buddha said in the Dharma, this happiness you need not reject. You need not fear such happiness. What type of happiness you need to fear? The happiness comes with defilements, greedy happiness. Because of greed, we enjoy sensual lust, sensual pleasure. This kind of happiness, you have to pay a price for it. If it ripens, it just will be, you won't get good result. Your attachment. But pure happiness, you don't need to fear. The happiness due to purity, due to concentration, due to absorption, due to jhana, this is pure happiness. So you can enjoy it to the satisfaction as much as you like. And when the karma ripens, you produce good rebirth and go to a good place. So it produces good result here and now and in future. So how nice. But suppose if you don't believe in future, still here and now you benefit. So you're always safe. But let me tell you, there is future life. There is past lives and future lives. And this, you can verify yourself. If you just practice according to the ancient teaching, Theravada teaching, which is now well preserved, maintained by my preceptor, Pao Siado. And if you practice Vipassana under the guidance of Pao Siado, he will teach you. In the second stage of Vipassana, Paccaya Parigraha Jnana, not exactly Vipassana. Vipassana is from the third insight knowledge onwards. That is Vipassana proper. Because they are taking Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta, impermanent suffering, non-self of the Nama Rupa as object. You're taking Nama Rupa as object and seeing the materiality and immateriality arise and pass away in extremely fast state, then you see that is actual Vipassana proper. But the first and second insight knowledge actually is preparing for Vipassana. Sometimes people also loosely call it Vipassana. So the first insight knowledge is Nama Rupa Pariccheda Jnana, is to differentiate the see thoroughly the materiality and immateriality. Immaterial quality, which is the mind, mentality, nama. Then the second insight knowledge is Paccaya Parigraha Jnana, is just dependent origination, seeing conditions, what condition produce what condition. To this, you need to see past life, present life, and future life. Again, I have to say, future life can change. Future life, seeing future is just like seeing the projection of karma. based on the karma you have now and whatever situation you project in the future, you see the future. But you can change if you keep meditating, practice a lot of dharma, do a lot of merits, and then make changing aspiration. Then the next time you sit down, meditate, and you look into the future, your future can change. That can change. That's why we can change our fate. So actually, and those who practice like that, they will have no doubt there is a rebirth. There is a rebirth. And once a person has real confidence in rebirth, then a lot of problems, a lot of wrong views, all things that we've done away with, these we'll cover in the next talk in Changing Fate. So next Friday, I'll cover this aspect. The profound and substantial way, effective way, fundamental way to change our fate. So, 讲到这个投身呢，这个如果你真的是修行观禅呢，依照原始的观禅的方修法，原始的观禅修法，那么真正观禅来讲呢，我们所谓的 Vipassana 呢，其实是第三个观智开始看无常苦我才叫做 Vipassana。那么第一个内观智慧是名色分别智，第二是缘起呢，这个 Samasana， 不是 Samasana， 所以 Pajaparigana， 这个缘起的观照，这个缘起的那个观智呢，那么因缘观智呢，因缘随观智呢，那么它你要看过去式、现在是未来式，那么这个是很看到的时候呢，那么很多烦恼、很多错见、很多东西都会排除，而且真正的智慧都会升起。那么这是一个很重要的课题，这是可以给我们真正呢，这个观察呢，可以给我们真正的有效率的、彻底的改变我们的命运。那这个呢，我会留待下一回下个星期五跟大家见面的时候呢，再详细的给大家讲解。就到这里为止。好，有什么问题吗？ Any questions from the floor? 大家有什么疑问吗？三有呢，是他必须懂得自然界的法则，引导你走向以自然界的法则而活，而走向正道，给你引导你累积善业而远离恶业，引导你走向光明。那么在这方面来讲，最主要的来自善有的引导，就是他自己必须懂得四圣谛八正道。因为世间没有什么法比四圣谛八正道更殊胜了，因为只有了知四圣谛八正道，你才可以真正的得到真正的安稳快乐。所以能够引导我们体证四圣谛八正道的呢，最好的善友，经里面佛陀也如实的告诉我们，是佛陀。真正最好世上无上的善友就是佛陀。那么除了佛陀以外，接下来就是佛弟子了，佛、毗湿佛、上首弟子们、阿罗汉、三果圣者、二果圣者、初果圣者，还有真心守戒、有戒定慧的智者，所以这些都是善友。So the question is, talk about earlier on, I told you all in the suttas that Kalyanamitta, wise friend, is the whole. The Buddha say is not half.Venerable Ananda say, wise friend is a half of our spiritual life. But the Buddha say, no, don't say so. Our wise friend is the whole of our spiritual life. Not half, it's a whole. Why? Because without spiritual wise friend, we don't find truth. We need the guidance of spiritual friend. Wise friend. And then who are the wise friend? He asked.Who are the wise friend? Whom can we call wise
friend, Kalyanamita. Kalyanamita must be the one who understands nature law, understands truth, and who can guide you to live according to truth, and guide you to do a lot of good deeds and avoid bad deeds, and guide you to live, to move from light to light, move towards the light. What is this? Important things, important guidance. It is none other than Four Noble Truths and Noble Eightfold Path. Why? Because only by living, penetrating Four Noble Truths and Noble Eightfold Path can a person find lasting eternal happiness and to be completely, thoroughly free from suffering. So this is the biggest thing in life. This Dhamma, this is the highest, most precious, it's invaluable. This is the highest because it really solves our problem out to the root. So who can teach this in the best way? And in the suttas, the Buddha say, it's the Buddha himself, because he's perfectly accomplished, perfectly enlightened one. In terms of Four Noble Truths and Noble Eightfold Path, no one penetrates much deeper than him. No one can teach better than him. No one can understand the being's mind as thoroughly, as deeply as him. And only he, only the Buddha, can really teach in the most effective and efficient way. Timely, suitable to the individual. So that's why the Buddha is the best Kalyanamita. Other than that, then the Pachika Buddha, then the but Pachika Buddha help in a limited way. This I won't go deep into it. But Pachika Buddha also very helpful. Very helpful for beings. But in a limited way. Because due to his limitation in his ability to teach. Then the Buddha's disciples, from the chief disciple, great disciples, to the all ordinary arahants, and then Anagami, third stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, second stage of saint, Sotapan, the first stage of those who have attained the first stage of sainthood. And those who know the Tipitaka, those who know, who practice Sila Samadhi, Panya, well. And all this, whoever can guide us towards the light, towards the better, improve, towards higher, towards wholesome deeds. So all this, we can call Kalyanamita, a different degree of Kalyanamita. And they're so important for our life. Without a wise mentor, a good guide, so often even we spend a lot of time searching for truth, we don't find truth. So when you have a good Kalyanamita, then it's wonderful. Okay. Any question from the floor? Is there a question? 可以，如果他的业不太坏的话，如果一个人的业很坏的话，那你去跟他讲，他临终的时候平时都是祈佛骂祖的那些，那么突然间临终的时候，你跟他讲你要信佛陀，你要念不当沙拉那个加密，他也不要念的。可是如果他平时就有信仰，那么在或者是他会接受，如果他可以临终的时候接受。
就是你跟他讲念不当沙拉那个加密还是什么，或者是跟他讲你要相信佛陀，对佛陀起信心，这样你要知道佛陀是无限的智慧和慈悲的代表等等，要礼敬佛陀。如果他真的在临终的时候就这样子转变的话，还是有的救，还是会好啊。不能转变就看哦，不能转变他。如果是在临终的时候，你叫念不当沙拉那个加密，他赶你走的话，你叫和尚来跟他讲法，他赶那个和尚走。 那就糟糕了，你有功德，他未必有好处，要看他吸收，他没有吸收就没有好处，有吸收就有好处，可是你肯定有功德，这样，so her question is about a story, a Buddhist story, saying that there was one child, when he was about to die, his father was very rich, but his father, in order not for other people to see the riches in the house, put him outside the house. Then when the Buddha passed by and the Buddha shined his light on that child, 16 years old, the boy, and then he turned over and saw the Buddha and has a lot of faith, and because of that he was reborn in heaven. So she was asking, is it possible for us to do something like what the Christian do? The Christian before they die, they what they do? They chant something, their Christian songs or whatever, I don't know. So for the Buddhists, can we tell people, the dying person, to place faith in the Buddha and then incline the mind, having faith in the Buddha, and then hopefully can change the mind of the dying person. Definitely you can do that. It's very good, meritorious. That's exactly what we should do. The thing is that it depends on the person. If the person doesn't have faith in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, in fact, has been cursing Buddha Dhamma Sangha all the time, then dying moment, you say, well, I'm so painful, better don't go and disturb me with all the nonsense. So it'll be worse. It won't be effective. The more you tell the person to chant Buddhang Sarang Gacchami or to think about the Buddha, the person get even more angry and restless and fed up. So if that's the case, it's harmful. Harmful for that person. But if a person somehow can change the mind, can incline the mind towards the Buddha Dhamma Sangha or maybe willing to recite Buddhang Sarang Gacchami or something like that, then can change. That's good. But if the person is getting senile and not absent-minded, just couldn't follow what you say and your guidance, it never mind. At least for you it's good because you have a sincere heart, pure heart, you want to guide the person to be reborn in a good place, and yet it's not successful. Still, you have a lot of merit for making that effort, but the person may not receive anything. So for the person to receive the benefit, he or she must be willing to allow the mind to be guided by Dhamma. Okay? So it's good. If you want to help your dying relatives, remember, try to help the person to incline the mind towards Dhamma. That's very helpful. So if you want to help your relatives, remember, 怎样都不可以在他身边大喊大叫给他痛苦你不要走啊请你不要走啊你走我就惨了你要留下来啊惨了还死了他想你看你还欠这样多债我们你走了我们要来还债啊惨了你留着他他死不安心那他就堕落了可能通常这种时候死的时候还很多执着很多时候也是投身做鬼就在周围然后来找你 So if a person is about to die, please don't cry and make noise and create havoc around. That will disrupt the peace of mind of the person. Don't go and say, now you still have a lot of debt remain to me. And then please, you must not die. You cannot die. Then the person with a heavy heart and die, then very miserable. Usually, if there's still a lot of attachment, not letting go, and if it is not too heavy karma to bring to hell, usually can be reborn in as a ghost. And ghosts may be hanging around somewhere nearby and still come back. Come to you. Why you cost me? You cry so much. Because of your crying, I end up as a ghost. I'm miserable. So come and catch you. Check at you. Okay. Any questions? Oh, me. Then we ask sharing of Marisna.
So we're very grateful again to Bhante Mangala for coming along and making this talk again tonight. In the first three talks, he was talking about a very important subject, how to live a good life. And now in tonight's talk, explaining how we can die well and also how to be reborn well. So that's a very important thing because everybody's going to come to that point in their life where it comes to an end. And if you know how to die well, you can also help other people as well, as Bhante Mangala was saying at the end there. So it's a very important subject that you understand the mechanics of this and how you can die well and get a good rebirth as well. So we're very grateful to Bhante Mangala for coming along and making this explanation. I just have a few announcements. Tomorrow night, as I think many people know by now, Bhante Angachitta will be coming for the meditation class. So at the moment, he's giving meditation class every Saturday night. That's at 7:30. Now, tonight was at 8 o'clock, okay. So tomorrow it's at 7:30 to 9:30. So try to come on time. if everybody arrives on time, then the class can start on time, and then you get a full program. Then we have a very important announcement to make, because thanks to the good offices of Bhante Mangala, we also on Sunday have Pau Auk Sayadaw will be coming to give a talk here. So Bhante Mangala will also come along with Pau Auk Sayadaw on Sunday. So the talk will be given in English, and Bhante Mangala will translate it into Mandarin. So it's a very good opportunity. As far as I know, it's the only talk that the Pau Auk Sayadaw is giving in Taiping. It's a really big opportunity for everybody to come along. The Pau Auk Sayadaw is, many of you know, is the leading meditation teacher in the Theravada at the present time. Probably, you know, one of the leading monks in the whole of the Theravada world at the present time. So it's a really big opportunity for the people in Taiping to come along. You should also tell your friends, also tell anybody you know who can attend the talk, and we'll try to arrange it so we can get the maximum amount of people in. And that will be happening on Sunday at 8 o'clock. I'll also mention that on Tuesday, Ananda leads a Qigong class. Not this week. It's a holiday. Okay, on Tuesday there's a holiday. 2 weeks holiday. Okay, so no Qigong this week. Normally there's a Qigong class on a Tuesday, but not this week. Then next Friday, Bhante Mangala himself will be giving the last of these five talks that he's been giving here. So, any other announcements? I don't think so. That's it, isn't it? Okay, so Bhante Agachitta tomorrow, Pau Auk Sayadaw on Sunday, and then Bhante Mangala next Friday. So listening to the Dhamma, as you all know, is a very meritorious deed. Teaching the Dhamma is a very meritorious deed. Listening to the Dhamma is a very meritorious deed. Straightening one's views is also a very meritorious deed. So now we'll share the merits with the devas first of all. Akasatta chabumatta devanaga mahiddhika Punyantan anamoditva Chiran rakkantu sasanan Akasatta chabumatta Devanaga mahiddhika Punyantan anamoditva Chiran rakkantu desanan Akasatta chabumatta Devanaga mahiddhika Punyantan anumoditva Chiran rakkantu manparanti. And also we like to dedicate all the merits to our relatives and friends who have passed away. Idam me natinam hotu Sukhita hantu nyatayo Idam me natinam hotu Sukhita hantu nyatayo Idam me natinam hotu Sukhita hantu nyatayo. Everybody say sadhu.
Okay, Bhante 要给你们做一个报告，就是这个星期天呢，八奥禅师，就是我的戒师了，现在在 SBS 教禅领导这个三个月禅修的，这位缅甸著名的八奥禅师，那么他会到来这里，星期天八点整呢，在这里给佛法开示。这将是他老人家在太平在那个禅修营以外第一次给佛法给的唯一的佛法开示。那么大家可以到来。那佛法开示呢，不奥禅师将会以英语开示， 到时我会在这里给板奥禅师做华语英语翻译成华语，所以欢迎大家到来这里听闻佛法。Hokkien English tomorrow。明天晚上7:30到9:30，我们的班迪阿嘎吉达，那你们都熟悉的，他会在这里给禅修指导，语言媒介语将是英语和 Hokkien 福建话。Okay.